Let me first of all say that I bring the love and best regards of our entire family, and especially from Mary, who would have given anything if she could be with me this morning. But it just could not work out, and for that reason, she is not here. But we know that you have her in your love and in your care and in your prayers, and we're thankful every day. I want to say right on the front end, the time that we had to put Maria in the hospital, first the emergency room, then ICU, and then to a room, and then Dad passed away during that, close to that same time frame, we were flooded by your love and your care, by emails and by cards. And we want you to know that we deeply appreciate the expression of your love. We know that we're in your hearts and in your minds and in your prayers. We know that every single day. Every time that I stand up and give this report, it's been going on now for 50 years, even the 7 years we were in the Carolinas when it was a real mission field, and then the 42 years in the Pacific, I'm always reminded of Acts 14:27, when Paul and Barnabas returned from that first missionary journey, and Paul stood up and spoke of how the Lord had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Well, I'm going to be speaking to you about the extension of that and the power of the gospel this morning. Really, our theme of this reporting time is getting the gospel. The Fijians would say the tukutuka vanaka, carrying the gospel to all the world, and especially to the Pacific Islands. Joshua would be reminded, as he was an aged man, there is still much land to be possessed. And although Mary and I are getting older, we know that there's still much land to be possessed. We have grown up in the work and with the work. And when we left in 1973 for the Pacific Islands, it did not take us long to realize that between Hawaii and Indonesia and Australia and New Zealand down under all the way, all the way to Japan, we were out here in the middle of the Pacific and we're the only one. But more than that, the gospel had not been carried to all the island countries in the Pacific. 22 countries, 30,000 islands, and at that time about 5 million people. Can you imagine that many is spotted on these islands? But we knew that our work challenged the opportunity. One day I said to Mary, "Wow," that's one of my favorite expressions. And already today, I've had some wows. It started my day, David, in a very good way with wows. It truly has, even with other things going on. And I said to Mary, "Wow, what a challenge this is." But immediately I followed up with, "That just means there's a lot of opportunities that we had." And I began to dream and put on paper a plan of our carrying the gospel to every island country, 22 countries, 30,000 islands. But the main thing that I knew that we needed was co-workers. Now, certainly we're not going to do all this without funds to do it with. But we would need many co-workers to get the job done. You know, really I had the plan before we left the United States in 73. I had the plan, and really, it was an amazing plan. It was another really wow, I promise you. It was a plan that is a God-given, God-ordained plan, and it was a plan that had been tried, proven, and tested. I knew it would work. Maybe others did not, but I knew, since God gave it and ordained it, and it was used by the Apostle Paul very effectively, it could be used in any following generations. And so we set forth that plan. And here basically it is to evangelize, and then every person that we make disciples through the gospel, that we would make sure that we edify them so that they could duplicate the process again, and that we would equip them as soul winners, Bible school teachers, preachers and elders and deacons, and on and on. Really, a young man came up to me at polishing the pulpit last year. I never had thought about this. Really had never thought about it. He came up to me. And he said, "Brother Robert, this is a phrase that you coined in 73. And now it is used." Well, I said, "Young man, I didn't think of it. Paul thought about it." Here it is in Acts 14, 21 to 23. But I did coin the phrase, and I believe that here's the major plan. Now, we knew that we would need to step back about every 2 years or less. Really, it's less. I've done it about every year. Step back and look. Something my grandpapa said over in Marion County, Alabama, and I followed him around as a young boy. He said, "Son, don't ride a dead horse." You ever thought about that? Where are you going to go on a dead horse? You're not going to go anywhere. Well, since methods, if used wisely, are methods and matters of judgment and expediency, we knew that we would need to adjust the overall plan to make it effective. But basically, it was this. It was carrying the gospel to all nations and every person. But then in carrying the gospel, from the beginning, planting indigenous congregations. That would be the key thing, to plant indigenous congregations that could basically reproduce themselves, that they would be able to govern themselves, and they would be able to support themselves. Now, this usually comes last. I don't mind telling you. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just the natural process. But nevertheless, they would be indeed. And we would inject that principle from the very beginning as we would plant. Now, I don't say start, establish, unless I do it accidentally, Bill. Because if we are seed sowers, Luke chapter 8, 1 to 11 and so on, if we sow the seed, we plant the church. Isn't that logical? Isn't that really biblical terminology, so to speak? So we would adjust the plan. And we always tried to use wisdom. I love Matthew 10, 17. Harmless as doves. And oh, how we need to remember that. We're not to browbeat people with the gospel. We're to lead them to Christ through the gospel, and then to nurture them and help them to grow as Christians. But also he not only says that I'm going to send you forth harmless as doves, but as wise as serpents. You know, since methods is really a matter of judgment and expediency, we need to use wisdom. Doesn't it call for a lot of prayer and thought and wisdom? And sometimes just going a lot by experience. And so we've always tried to use very good wisdom. We don't have Bozo the Clown or Ronald McDonald diving out of a plane. But nevertheless, we try to use excellent wisdom and always put the gospel right out front above everything else. We're going to use many tools, but use wisdom. We would also use many co-workers. From the very beginning, in that time Dan and Judy were at Shades Mountain, maybe Sandusky first. In Birmingham, we would use many co-workers. They got more involved from Shades Mountain, where Brother Franklin Kemp had been. And they got really involved. So we begin up front using many co-workers. I love 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. This is another wow you can take home today, I promise you. It is. You know, we're co-workers together with Him. Think about how awesome that is. Think about how glorious that is, that we are co-workers with Him. I'm really a co-worker with God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through His Word. Isn't that beautiful? That we are co-workers with the Lord, and we have that beautiful relationship with Him. Now, whether we first time go into a country, we're always trying our best to go in learning the culture, learning the customs, learning the people. That's just a given. So that we may move very wisely. Matthew 10:17, move very wisely. But also at the same time, we're going to try to be really reaching the masses with the gospel. We're going to do it as massively as we possibly can, whether it's carrying the gospel into a country the first time or whether it's carrying the gospel into a cluster of villages, towns, cities, whatever. We are always going to try to saturate it with the gospel. We do a lot of that with the Voice of Truth of International, which the brethren love. And also house to house and heart to heart. You know, the printed page, although it's changed a lot, from black and white to color, and we've all got on the bandwagon with that, because if you can catch this, you're going to catch this in the person. And so we've all gone to this. And because of that, it's just made the gospel more effective. Let me tell you what happened. A few months ago, going into the country, went through immigration and through the last 25, 30 years in that country, that particular country in Kiribati, I got to know all the people, from the attorney general and the president right down. So immigration is easy. I just flowed right through it, but customs is always going to be a customs. And they always like to make sure, and it bothers me when they go into my luggage and move things. I've got it like I want it. It bothers me, but I don't say nothing. I just stand there and smile. But I noticed that the head of the customs department, she was reading something behind something larger. I knew what she had larger was what she was really reading. I think I glanced from the side, but I couldn't tell what it was. So as she was reading, I said to her, just stepped around, spoke to her, and I said, "Ma'am, do you mind if I ask what you're reading?" She said, "I'm not reading anything." I let her get away with it. This was a time to say, "Lady, you need to tell the truth." You know, we need to always speak the truth in love, amen? We need, whether it's the gospel or truthfulness with our neighbor. And so I said, "But you were reading something so interesting. So it had your mind captivated." And so she said to me, "Sir, I was reading." And she said, "I was reading this tract." Well, immediately I knew the tract then. And she said, "This tract was written by a man that I don't know. But this tract, I read it every day." Every day, did you get that? And it was beginning to be a little bit ragged. And she said, "I read it every day because it taught and brought me to the Church of Christ and to obedience of the gospel a few months ago." Yes. And yes, yes, whoa, that's right. That's a good whoa. That's a wow. And so I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "This man wrote it, Robert H. Martin." And she said, "Do you know him?" Well, America's a big place. She knows I'm American from the accent. And so I said, what am I going to say? Can't lie. And so I said, scratching my head like an islander, and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm he." Folks, she nearly collapsed on the floor. And she said, "Brother Robert, your name is spoken of so much." But she said, "I never met you. I didn't know you." And what a glorious fellowship we have. We use the printed page. You know, it can go where we can't go. It can go ahead of us, and it can prepare the minds and hearts of people to the gospel. We also do a lot of printing at Forest Park, thousands upon thousands upon thousands on an annual basis. And we're thankful for that. We're going to use tract packets very effectively. Put us in some very ripe field area and I want to use Fiji if I may, give us about 4 hours, about 4 hours, two different days, and we're going to give out 850, 900 tract packets. Think about that. Filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation. We're going to also enroll a lot of people. Bible correspondent course, still effective. Even in black and white, we have thousands and thousands all over the Pacific who are taking Bible correspondent courses. But you know our objective is to plant the seed, and we know if we plant and we water, our objective is to sit down with the people then and study the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we know if we plant and we water, we know God will give the increase. Amen? We believe that. Amen. Now, I'm getting older and my hearing's not so good. So if you're going to say amen, you better say amen. 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 All right. Thank you, Dan. You understand. Okay. But nevertheless, that's our objective. Our objective is to bring them to Christ. And then after that, we are going to nurture them. I can't tell you how much I love this young man in every one of these slides on this clip. I try to be very observant. We try to recruit the right people for the right work. And we always pray so extensively and so fervently to the Lord to guide us to the right people. I believe in the power of prayer, not wasting our time. And so we prayed about this so much. And there were different people, a few that we used, but it finally came down to Josh and Kara, and finally came down to Palm Beach Lakes. Without all of you and Josh at the very front, the church would have never been planted in Easter Island. Never been planted. And we give God all the honor and glory and the praise. And it has not stopped. I told Josh at the baptizing, the second baptism, I said, Josh, you've baptized Lydia in our household and the Philippian jailer. Boy, what a statement that is. And so there's the planting of the church in Rapa Nui or Easter Island. We thank God. But then our work continues. It does not stop. If it stops with evangelizing, it will really stop. Then it continues with edifying the saints, whether it be one, whether it be many. Those who are baptized, we need to be patient. I don't hear any amens. Should we be patient when people are baptized? I am so very thankful. You know what Mary's sister said? She married to a preacher, even then. And she said to Mary, what are you doing thinking about dating regularly, probably thinking about marriage, with this football player and this fellow that has a rowdy reputation? Amen. Oh, man, the brother, I didn't ask for that one. He's a rascal. David, he's a rascal. Yes. But you know what I'm saying? We need to be patient. God is patient, is he not? Didn't Peter write the long-suffering of God? We need to be patient. These people need a lot of growing and developing. And brethren, I can't snap my finger anymore very good because Uncle Arthur's a heretic. I'd like to get rid of him. But nevertheless, you know, we think snap your finger, that's it. It's all over. They have grown to where they... No, it hasn't. No, it isn't that way. It takes time. And so we do a lot of edifying. And we also, not only individuals, but congregations. Some of them are larger. And the larger, older ones always say, Brother Robert, don't forget about us. You want to nurture those babes in Christ and those younger congregations. You think we don't need it sometimes too? What about, does Palm Beach Lakes need it? Yes. You know, we all need to be edifying, enlightening, encouraging, building up. You know, I need encouragement every day. Now, you don't think so, probably, but you're not around me every single day, all the time. I need encouragement a lot, and I need a whole lot of enlightening. So we do this congregationally. And then one area that I hardly ever touch on, Mary thought I should in this year, is that we are involved in really sharing with the brethren in an important work. There's no such thing as minimum wage in the Pacific Islands. So you just paid whatever they want to pay you. Really, it is a poor area of the world. Poor area of the world. And so it would be years and years, and maybe never would they have their a building. Now, there are some things, stipulations that they must meet before I partnership with them. They know it. Robert's going to be very hard on us. He's like a daddy sometimes. And he's going to really hold our nose to the pavement and bloody our nose a little. But you know what? I want them to buy in to the process of that indigenous plan. So we partnership a lot of time with the brethren. Dan, the two top slides, Delta Manu, Fiji. They have built a building two times. And they supplied all the timber, most of the tin for the top, and even the building of all their pews, because they've got mahogany trees in the forest to the back of the village. And they were able to sell that, so, because it's like gold this day and time. And so we partnership with a lot of people, congregations in this area. And Mary, you know, boy, I don't have to say nothing about Mary for the older ones here at Palm Beach Lake, but I want to say something new. Something new. You know, I'll be married to this lady, this sweetheart, 53 years on October the 20th. And what a joy she is in the work. Recently, I don't know who I was telling yesterday, either Dan Jenkins or Dan McLeod. Recently, I was about ready to go into Samoa. And so I got there, and they said, "Brother Robert, we really don't need you." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. Who brought you to the Lord, and what's going on?" And they said, "Because Sister Mary's been on the phone with us, and she solved this spiritual problem we had in the churches, and it's already been done." I said, "Well, she didn't make my job easier." Now, she knows her respective biblical role. But you know what? That just thrilled my heart. You know, not only that, I call her MacGyver Mary. Now, some of you may remember the series MacGyver. You give her a pair of pliers and a screwdriver and some baling wire, and she can get out of anything and do anything nearly. Recently, I had a brother from the Shiloh congregation in Huntsville, Alabama with me. And got off the plane, and I just saw this little thing that'll go above the seats in the plane. I said, "Run, is that all the clothes you got?" And he said, "Brother Robert, my luggage is somewhere in the twilight zone. I don't know where." It is. But as soon as we get to Lombasa, Fiji, to teach PIBC and work for the Lord, I am going to, as soon as we get there, I'm going to get on the email and tell my family and some people that worked for NASA in Huntsville to find that luggage. Well, I said, "You got any clothes?" He said, "Robert, all I've got is the pair of pants on me and the shirt and another pair of pants and a shirt in the small carry-on." That was wise. Believe me, for my sake, it was very wise. We're going to be in a small hotel room, and that was wise. But I said, "You have any undies?" He said, "I got one pair." First thing I thought of, we can turn them different ways. You can turn them different ways, rather, not we, but you. But after so many days, Judy, they begin to stink. They really stink after so many days. And after about 4 or 5 days of run stinking, I'd about had enough of it. But I was patient, Josh. Josh, I was patient. I didn't say a word. And Ron said, "My family's not responding. They can't find it. Those fellows that send those rockets going wherever, they can't find it." So about the ninth day, I was going to either move out of the room because it gets bad. Well, I got to tell you this. So let me stop there and tell you this. We had gone downtown Lombasa, Fiji, and it's not the biggest place in Fiji. It's on the second largest island, a small town. And we went to a store because I'd had enough bills stinking. So I said, "Brother, we got to get you some undies." We go to the store and I spot a man, because I'm going to talk to a man about this matter. And so I saw the man and I said, "We need some undies for this man." He said, "Oh, what's undies?" I said, "Oh, you're going to call them supporters. Okay, he needs supporters." So we went back and he opened up a packet right in the store. And he's already flashing us with those supporters, those undies. And Ron looked at me, and his eyes about big as big washers. He looked at me and he said, "Brother Robert, I don't wear Speedos." I said, "Brother, it's either Speedos or I'm going to Speedo out of this room." Well, to end the story, I was talking to Mary the ninth day. We're going to be there for 21 days. The ninth day I was talking to Mary, and I said, "Sweetheart, you got to pull some strings. You got to find this luggage." Make it real short. 2 hours later, she said, "Go to the Lombasa airport, and it'll be at the airport." That's MacGyver Mary. She's important to me, for really, and the work she does with me. Pacific Island Bible College, what shall I say? It just grows and grows, and Mary and I are so blessed. We are so very blessed to have Stacy and Kathy Ferguson working with us. I mean, he's just like our son, and he's just a wonderful fellow. Sometimes when we're by ourselves and something has not gone right in a country or something, he will allow me time to privately express myself and ventilate a little. He'll say, "You know, man, you're probably right on this, like you are some of the time. But," he said, "you know what, you're not going to express it that way. I know you've known you too long." We've worked together in Pacific Island Bible College for 10 years, and I knew him for another 7 years before that. A marvelous young man, kind, loving, loves the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a co-worker he is with us. Now, what is Pacific Islands Bible College doing? Well, we offer 26. We've increased to 2 more courses. We have 26 courses. And church-related courses. Not only that, but we have classroom courses, DVD courses. Because there are some areas that do not have electricity, we also offer the courses by correspondence as well. We're teaching, training, and maturing Christians. Now, why is PIBC so unique? Well, first of all, we're not in a landlocked nation like South America, Africa, or certain parts of Asia, Europe. Because of that, when we started the college, we wanted to keep it a Bible college, and we wanted to make it very effective. We were patient in it growing, and it has really grown. Well, it is effective, not because I say so. The stats and the people speak for themselves. It is effective because we're unlimited in the number of students that we can teach. Isn't that beautiful? Now, if we had had an institution in one country, we'd have been so confined it would have been unreal. But because we carry the subjects, the college, to the students, and I'll say more about that in a moment, we do not have a campus to build and to maintain. Our concern is building souls, maturing, training, so that they may be better workers. So Pacific Islands Bible College is very effective in the Pacific Islands. It is also very, very economical to operate. Again, we don't have to transport students from one country to another country. You know, right now, to go from Samoa, Western Samoa used to be, to Fiji is about $800. Now, what student could afford that? What would we get into? So we don't have to do that. Also, we do not have to house and feed and support students. We just don't have to do that. You might say, "Well, nothing wrong with supporting them. I didn't say there's anything wrong with it." It may not be the wisest, because it's a proven fact throughout our brotherhood that it has not been the wisest road to go. And so I'm glad we're doing it the way we do. Let me tell you this. Recently, I was in one of the countries in the Pacific teaching PIBC and doing the Lord's work, generally speaking. And an ad came out in the newspaper. One ad, small ad, was only about like this. I was happening to go by the company that was asking. It was a very simple job. Very simple job. They were lined up out the door and down the road for over 2 miles. That's how hard jobs are to find. You put people on the support, and either the local church is going to have to assume it, which may take years and years and generations. Nothing wrong with them supporting themselves. Many of us have done that, and we thank God for the opportunity. And then the PIBC is very efficient in teaching and also in training others. The students receive this teaching and training in the country where they are, and they never leave their job. Think about that. You know what? Many years ago, we put one man on support in Fiji. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me for using bad judgment forever and ever. You know what? Finally, that brother came to me and he said, "Robert, y'all cannot continue to increase my support like if I'm working with a company or the government. Number two, I have no retirement. I have no health insurance." I said, "Brother, what are you saying?" He said, "I want to go back and work for the government." He's got 3 businesses today and retired the second time from the government. And so he's fully covered. So one of the things that makes it efficient is this reason. Another reason is the students continue to study the Word of God, to grow and develop, at the same time worshiping and serving the Lord where they are in the local church. You know, there can't be a better way than this. They continue to grow in their effectiveness because they're growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. They're growing in their effectiveness and maturity, and they never leave the congregation where they are worshiping and serving the Lord. Now, the college has really grown. Now, I know some of you are going to say, "Woo, woo." And the others are going to, "I see you smiling, David." And everywhere, I mean, there are different expressions, the wows and all this kind of stuff. Well, I feel more comfortable that way than I do this way. You believe me, I do. Because it's been our life for so many years. We're in 22 countries, 25 locations, and listen to this. We are teaching over 550 students throughout the Pacific. We have 20 instructors that we use, and one of your own, Brother Dan McLeod, is one of those many instructors. There are PIBC graduates every year, which is not the most important that they get the piece of paper on the wall, but they've accomplished a lot, and they're growing in the knowledge, and they're growing spiritually as well. What is PIBC doing? 2 Timothy 2:2, you know it. Paul said to Timothy, "What I've committed to you or taught you, you teach others that they'll be able to teach others also." That's where these soul winners are coming from. These Bible school teachers, second and third generations now, and those men who preach on the radio, and those men that are serving as elders and deacons in the Lord's church as well. You know what we're doing? Passing it on. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say enough how important it is when we start at this age. We don't have nurseries in the Pacific. Nothing wrong with them. It's a matter of judgment and expediency. But we do have longer earlobes from the parents correcting the children where they're sitting. We do have soft places on their body probably, which don't kill them. It just brings them in line. And we're thankful to God for that. But here's where it all starts. Now, how do we accomplish this task? Well, the missionaries are going to have to be missionaries that will follow a plan to evangelize, edify, and equip. And then we're going to have to train Pacific Islanders. I am closer to heaven today than I was last year and last month. And yesterday. I pray God will let me see more, but I will take what He has given and I will rejoice in Him of what has been accomplished. Now, two or three things. Number one, real quickly. Pray for me as I meet with your elders. Pray for me as I meet with your elders and for your elders this afternoon. Also, the second thing I would ask you, if you do not get our newsletter, it's easy to get it. Give me or June Pack your name and address with a zip code on it. And don't ask me to do it electronically. We're not going to go there. We do it this way, and then, because you're going to have to read it on the computer or print it out, and you just as well still let us send it into your home. Don't read it on the bulletin board. I really hope they don't put it on the bulletin board, because you won't read it. You want to go eat. You want to go home. You want to go wherever to save some soul through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please give it to either me or to June Pack, and she'll make sure that I get it. The last thing. Every 2 years, we try to raise some extra special project one-time funds. We haven't increased our monthly support in 6 years. Well, this is one way that offsets that. We're trying to raise $20,000, one-time special project funds, in and above your weekly contribution. I don't want to take one penny away from the Lord at all here locally. But we're trying to raise $20,000. We've got $5,000 raised. Move us along. Move us along and bring us closer to that final figure of $20,000. Keep me and Mary and Maria and all of our family in your daily prayers. We love you. You're always in our love and care and our prayers. May God bless you. Thank you so much.